Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another edition. Lovely to have you back. Thank you for listening to us. We were checking the numbers a little while ago. Good numbers, man. Good numbers. Thank you very much. Do keep, please, spreading the word. We'd love everyone listening, but we'd love some more people listening. So if you could do that for us, that would be fantastic. Thank you to our wonderful patrons as well for helping us keep the lights on. You are doing a bang up job there. Thank you so much. We're going to be doing some things in the new year for our patrons. I know I keep saying I'm going to do this, going to do that, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to get Mr. Danny Phillips on. Danny, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get you on, all right? I said I'd do it. I'm going to do it. We're going to have a chat. My wonderful patrons, Mr. Danny Phillips. We'll get him on, have a chat. If anybody else wants to have a chat with me from our patrons, do drop me a line and we'll have a chat. I'd love to have a chat with you. Good. So, before we get into it, I do need to do some admin. And what we've got now, we've got our stylish Insane in the Membrane t-shirts. And they are on, they were through SOS Clothing. They're still with sosclothing.co.uk. But those lovely boys, Mark and Stacey, have set up a new website. And this one's called buythatmerch.co.uk. And if you go there, buythatmerch.co.uk. Also, what they're doing now, they're taking care of other people's merch. So on that website, you've got Off the Beaten Track, Stu Whiffin, you've got the Pink Toothbrush, Two Girls, One Podcast. They're on there, and it's all there, everyone's merch. And what they're doing now, they've got this brand new equipment installed in their warehouse, and it's state of the art. This stuff is massive. It's so great. They're starting to do the merch for bands and comedians and all that. So if you're listening to this and you need some merch, drop those boys a line. Go to buythatmerch.co.uk. Tell them that we sent you, and they will sort you out. There's no like middlemen. There's no mucking around. No hidden fees. They will. You get what you're given. You get what's there. It's all in front of you, and they will sort you out. They've got all the equipment, and it's good quality garments. As I've said before, it's ethically sourced, vegan friendly. They really know what they're doing, and they're really worth getting behind. So buythatmerch.co.uk. Get onto that. They will sort out all your merch needs. So thank you for that. Do that, and also, like I say, tell them we sent you. And get your limited edition Insane in the Membrane coffee beans from WoganCoffee.com, based in Bristol. Lovely, lovely Bristol, where my sons live. If you use the exclusive Membrane listener promo code Membrane, that's one word, you'll get 10% off our podcast packs. I've got one right in front of me now. They look brilliant. It tastes nice too. It's Colombian and Brazilian blend, 100% speciality Arabica bespoke blend. That's what you'll get. So do that. Go to WoganCoffee.com and use the promo code Membrane, one word. You get 10% off our podcast packs. So do that. That would be fantastic. And don't forget to check the episode notes each week for links to our guests, our merch, and our YouTube and Twitch channels, where you can see me in action in the studio. So yeah, I'm having to comb my hair and dress nice, so because you can see me now with video and it all. So yeah, go to our YouTube channel, our Twitch channel, and that's what we're going to be doing. We're just going to be flinging ourselves all over the internet, because we've decided that we've been overthinking it. We've been overthinking it. Like, people talking to us about algorithms and this and that. We're just going to start flinging stuff out. So you find it, see it, we'll keep flagging it up. Find me on the socials. I am Rich Wilson on Instagram. We've got Membrane Podcast on Instagram, Fembrane Podcast on Instagram. We've also got the Tuned Up Time Machine on there. That's mine too. We've got producer Paul. He's on Instagram. Find us. We're all over the place. We're on Twitter as well. I am Rich Wilson. We're on Facebook. So just come and find us. Let's link up. We'll send you loads of good stuff. We'll have a bloody good time. Let's get on with the episode, shall we? I'm chatting away, doing all the admin. I think that's the admin done. Our guest is Chris Martin. No, wait. Not that one. And he does say that on his socials. Chris Martin is a damn fine comedian, damn fine man. Currently based out in LA. I've known Chris a few years. And we were talking about him coming on phrases. And we couldn't quite make it work, but now we have, and I'm so glad we did. The guy's brilliant. We had such a good chat, talking about what it's like being out in LA whilst, you know, all this sort of COVID nonsense is going on. It was a really good chat, really funny. He's a lovely, lovely guy, and we really got stuck in, as we always do. He's top dude. So still what, let's stop mucking around. Coming up in a minute is Chris Martin.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A podcast from producerpaul.co.uk.
So, we were talking about Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving where you are.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's a tricky one to do you get involved or do you not? But you sound like you're getting involved.
I'm getting involved.
With your vegan food.
Yeah. I got involved. I made a vegan nut roast, which is my trademark holiday. My issue with Thanksgiving is it's two of the most similar meals on the planet a month apart, right? This then Christmas. It's literally the 25th day. It's going to be a month apart. And then you kind of, you know, you shit on Christmas dinner a little bit a month early. They need to space them out. That's my one note to America. It's my one and only note that America needs to change. Everything else absolutely perfect.
So what is it about this day? Why is it this day that's Thanksgiving?
That, do you know what? I thought that yesterday because it's always, I think it's the last Thursday of November. And I've never quite, Easter does the same. I'm not up for these. Just give me a date. I'm a person in like structure. 25th of December, Jesus was born. Definitely, that's Christmas. Yeah. But now it's the 25th for Thanksgiving. But then last year, I guess it was the 24th? I don't know. But like, you know, why pick the day of the week and not pick the date? But maybe there was no official date of what is it? What is the thing again? It's quite troubling, isn't it? They like,
yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, it is quite troubling.
What did they do? They give thanks for stealing the land? Is that what it is? Sort of.
Something like that. Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know. Now, when you really look at, that's the thing, isn't it? These things have been around for years. Yeah. When you start looking into them, as we all do now, you kind of go, oh, shit, yeah, we shouldn't be probably celebrating that.
Do you know almost all phrases I've learned, like, not almost all phrases, but a lot of phrases that you say are not, like, grandfathered in racial undertones, bad racist, there's a racist connotation. Really? Like almost all phrases like that, I keep learning. Like I'll say something and someone goes, you can't say it. Not in that, you can't say this anymore. But I mean in a more like, oh, I didn't know that that came from bad times. But
that's
it,
because they get
into this path. troubling path this, 2 minutes in.
But it's all kind of, it all adds to this sort of like the mental health conversation where, you know, these phrases have been around for so long and are used so freely that they lose the actual meaning. So they just, you just don't even realise what you're saying half the time.
Yeah. You
know, like the phrase cotton picking, oh, wait a cotton picking minute. And that was around for years. And then suddenly went, hang on a minute, you know what that means, right? You're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Of course.
I had a weird one on stage here a couple of years back. Someone did something and someone else said something. And I went, oh, was it? It's like Chinese whispers or something. And then they all stared at me. And because in America, I was like, oh, yeah, you guys call it telephone. And then I went, oh, yeah, I'm assuming Chinese whispers is horrifically racist. And I've never thought of that till I just realized, which is kind of ironic being in America and then making me feel racist. But I don't know if there's we probably started it. But yeah, you're right.
So.
You say these phrases, you're just so used to, I mean... Yeah, let's not. There's many. I'm not going to start listing racist phrases to say why they're bad. But yeah, your brain just is so used to saying shit, you just keep saying it until somebody goes, and then, you know, if you're a reasonable person, you go, I don't really need to say that, so maybe I won't say it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. There's that. I mean, I still, someone the other day talking about the end of their penis and referred to it as, you know, and I went, wow. Are you still saying that? And they went, well, I went, listen to what you've just said. And they go, fuck, yeah.
That word is so in the British etymology to the point where my wife said it, like not, and she's half Filipino, right? So you know, not that all Asian people should, but you would think she would be, but she said it. And then I went, why did you say that? She went, that's what it's called. And she went, oh, that's not, I said, it's called a urethra. I mean, it's not, you don't go to the doctor and they, but she, it was so, you know, growing up in Scotland or whatever, I guess she was so used to people saying it that you just didn't mean it in a bad
meaning.
Way. Yeah, it lost its meaning. No. And it's good to be reminded sometimes that it has a meaning and you shouldn't say it. Bring back urethra, mate. That should be the campaign. UK, normalize urethra.
Yeah, it really just rolls off the tongue, that one, doesn't it?
You sound like a scientist. Sounds smart when you say it. If you're going to talk about your dick, make it sound smart. Say urethra.
Well, like Norm Macdonald said, use the decimal points. That makes you sound more sciencey.
Oh, you just made me laugh, but also a bit sad because I remember the. Oh God, he's so funny, that guy. Oh,
yeah,
that was one of those weird. That was one of those weird ones where I'm not one of those people, and I'm not judging people that do. But I never go. I don't know why. I should just get on with it. And just now, when people pass away, you go on the internet and you say something, and it seems. But my problem with that is a lot of people kind of make it about themselves, which I kind of hate.
Every time.
Well, yeah, a lot of people, but all of them. pretty much all of them, but it's always a weird thing of like, but then there's been weirdly, it's been a really weird few months in comedy, especially a lot of comedians. And there was that week he passed away, and then that British comic who I never worked with, but everyone said is the nicest guy.
Phil Gerard.
Yeah, and then like everyone had and then that was a week where in LA, two comedians died from ODing on. From fentanyl mixed into coke. So it's just this weird thing. But then, and weirdly, Norm Macdonald, even though I just remember watching that special of his on, I think it was on Netflix, like so many times that I actually felt the need to say a thing. And then I started worrying, oh, do people think I'm, and then I was like, it's not about me, stop worrying. Do you have that? We go, oh, people think I'm an arsehole. And you go, actually, no one is even thinking about you. It's not about you.
No one gives a shit. But what it is interesting what you say when you see these stories is these people, because I was genuinely, because nobody had any idea that he was ill. He didn't even tell Conan.
No.
He didn't tell anybody. It's just suddenly he wasn't there anymore. You're like, are you kidding? And I, like you, I used to watch him every day. If it wasn't that special, it'd be clips on YouTube. I was just watching him constantly. I just loved him so much. And then, yeah, it was one of the first times where I've just gone, yeah, I want to say something, because I am for the first time, like genuinely heartbroken at someone I didn't know.
has passed on. But then you see other people, this happens all the time, like you said, they start off, they go, oh, I loved him. I remember when I was in this green room with them and they said how great I was, and I just, and it's all about them, and you go, oh, fuck off,
I
man.
I know. It's like, I'm not going to name the name, I saw a comic when another comic died, and they were like, oh, I remember when he texted me about my award win, and that was the start of it. Yeah. And I was like, is that all right? But then you're like, fine, I guess it's just whatever. Why do we care at the end of the day? Why do I care what they ever say? Yeah. Why should you care about writing stuff? We're all just little ants.
We are. But that's why I think that's half the problem with us human beings, is that we are aware of our own existence, but we're not as important as we think we are. And I think that's where a lot of our issues are stemming from now. We're starting to realise that actually we're just part of the system. We're not really like the head of the system.
Yeah.
And I think that's where now we're all struggling to, we all want to feel a bit more important, and we all want to feel like we actually, we're more important than we think we are. And it's, yeah. then we really are. And it's,
the pandemic's really escalated. Is it like, I feel very lucky actually that, and I don't know if you feel the same, obviously it's been quite trying in our industry, but in every industry, let's be honest, unless you're like a billionaire, right? So then you go, oh, you start freaking, and then I go, actually, I'm still lucky, because whatever happens, what's happened financially in the last 2 years, and then stuff's looking a bit bright, but either way, still going to get to do what we love. But a lot of people have been, and it's difficult, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like this pandemic's shown you, you know, self-care and like worry about your time. But then some people are like, start quitting jobs and going into shit, and they aren't ready to go into the shit. And then I'm just worried about those people where they're like, I'm going to just, and I go, yeah, I think absolutely like pursue. But a lot of people, I think, are just, I'm just quitting and I'm going to pursue something different, but I haven't actually like worked enough at it or figured it out. Which, so then I'm worried for these people is what I'm saying, Rich. Does that make sense? Like, I want people to pursue their dream and do what they love. But I think it's also I recognize anyway, I don't know if you do, I'm very, very privileged to do a thing that I love. And it's like, what percentage of people in the world actually get to do something they love? Really, do you think?
Well, this is it, man. This is it. I'm really lucky, like you've just said, we're very lucky to do what we're able to do. We are good at what we do, and we're lucky to be able to do it. What is amazing is if I turn around and said to you, I'm going to be a Formula One driver.
Yeah.
And you'd go, I don't think you should.
I mean, I'd like to see what happens in a perverse way. So you just turning up to Silverstone. All right, any spare cars I can take for a spin?
You just rock up in an ill-fitting fire suit, just gaffer taped around my wrists and ankles.
I've bought a helmet. I've literally got all the gear and minus no idea what goes on in. That'd be fine.
At that point, you'd have to go, Richie, let's have a word. I don't, I've got a bad feeling about this. But this thing with other people, because you want to say, yeah, you know, explore your dreams. You want to, fling yourself out there. But sometimes you look at people, like, I don't, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it comes down to the idea of, I've said this about, and this is not, again, I'm not trying to judge it, but there's a lot of people who love the idea of something and not the reality of something. My friend, actually, we were talking about this the other day, she made me laugh. She was like, I really, at one point, thought I wanted to be a gemologist whilst she's a writer. And she was like, starting as a writer, but she was doing like a job in a bar. And she went, oh, I want to be a gemologist, which is like, because I love precious stones. I think she thought you could do like a course to like have that as a part-time job. It's a seven-year like program to become one, but she realized that very quickly and was like, oh, I can't. Most things, if you want to do it, you have to just work so hard. I don't think there's very few things apart from maybe no, that's not even true. If you're an influencer, you work hard at putting stuff on the internet. I don't know if you've tried,
mate,
to regularly upload stuff. I try to do a TikTok, almost like 4 TikToks a week. And I was like, this is mentally draining and I don't want to do it. So no, I think you have to, if you want to do a thing you love, you've got to work
your
ass off. There's no shortcuts really, I don't think.
No. Well, I know the influencer, Poppy Adams.
Yeah.
And her out, she just has to record every single thing she does.
I couldn't
constantly.
I can't do that.
And you, I have impressive. Trouble plugging this show.
I know that feeling. Because do you feel the same as me? It's going back to what you said earlier. Again, overthinking it. I'm like, I don't want to put this online because people are going to think I'm just so boring plugging stuff. And again,
no one,
but probably no one cares. Again, probably. There might be the odd sad person that worries them a lot, but I'm sure most people, but yeah, I feel like, oh, I'm crowding someone else's timeline with my stuff.
Yeah, I think it's exactly that's exactly it. I just sit there and I go, because people keep saying, you don't plug enough. I'm like, I plug every day. They go, you don't. You've got to do it every three hours. You've got to do it. And it's too much, man.
It's annoying though, because people that do that, you'd like to go, it doesn't matter. And then people that do that actually do very well. And you're like, it does actually work. That's almost more annoying when you're like, it does work.
It does work.
I wish I could kid myself that it makes no difference. But there is solid evidence that backs up that doing. Do you have this as well? Sorry, this is your podcast, but I'm just.
No. Go on.
How do you feel about asking people? So I'm this is not to, again, I'm feeling awkward. I'm not trying to plug, but I've been recording a podcast with your lovely producer Paul. Hi, producer Paul.
Oh yeah.
And I've had to get guests on, and I feel anxious when I, because you always feel like you're asking for a favor, right? Because it is essentially, there's not really much upside unless your podcast is humongous and then like Joe Rogan, whatever. But I just fucking, I dread it. I'm like, text them or email them. And then you're just like, oh God, I want to jump out of a window as soon as I do it. I'm like, why am I even doing this to myself?
I have bursts of where I'm just like, come on my podcast. I'm having a confident day. I'm like, come on my podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And then most of the time I'm like, I mean, Paul knows this for a fact. He's like, have you asked that person? I'm like, yeah, I'm just building up I've just got a way I've got to do it. I don't want to, and I'm just, because I think as well, because this is sort of seen as, it's a mental health podcast, like the jumping off point. So as soon as people hear that, they kind of go, oh, I don't know if I want to open myself up in that way.
Yeah.
So there's a reticence to sort of jump on, but yeah, I get it, man. I fold in half, cringe in half.
And then we shouldn't, because at the end of the day, I'm trying to like say this for both of us. They just will. What's the worst thing? They just go, oh, no thanks, or they don't reply. And then actually, you know, we're so used to in this industry, you forget that like, actually quite tough. You know, how many yeses do we get generally that we want out of the amount of things we try and go for is like very small. So really just asking. Yeah. But I think when you know someone a bit and they're like a mate and you're like, I don't know, that's something about that I feel like is worse. Like, hey, hi mate, can you come on? Like, I haven't spoken, we haven't spoken in ages because I've been in another country, I guess. But, you know, a bit of me's like, maybe we should have gone for a dinner first before we
ease into it.
Ease into it. Someone actually told me this at a party, and I actually thought it was quite a good bit of advice in this industry, although it makes us feel a bit yucky. Was like, they said, because when you ask someone, you know, oh, especially over here, there's like, hey, there's writing jobs and there's shows, and if you know someone, it helps, but you always feel a bit awkward, like we said about asking. But someone said, a drug dealer once said to them, someone would Texas drug dealer and be like, hey man, how you doing, what's going on with you, what's new, blah blah, by the way, have you got any coke,
like, no, right.
And the drug dealer just said, just say the thing, just say you don't care about, well, not that you don't care, but like just ask for what you want at the top rather than doing this whole, and I think there's because you feel like I've got to do this whole obliging, but almost there's an in-between. There's like, if you're genuinely having a nice catch up with someone, that's great, and then you go, oh, by the way, actually, here's the thing. But if you do the like catch up by numbers, two questions, and then here's your point, I think that's worse than just going, hey man, don't suppose you'd like to do my podcast? And then someone just goes, yes or no. But yeah, I just thought, have the drug dealer mentality to get down to business.
I think, and the same with asking to go on podcasts as well is, because there's a couple of the, and ages ago they even said, yeah, come on the podcast. I was like, yeah, let's sort that out, and then we never did. And now I'm like, I should sort that out, and then I'm like,
I know, because you feel like if they wanted me, they'd ask me, but actually probably they just got busy and
yeah,
you know, they'd love to have you on, but they I remember when me and my old one with Cut, we'd just be like, oh, who have I just seen that week? And then you just ask them. It's not there's no grand plan. There's no leaderboard of people you want on the podcast. But I know that feeling. It's just like I should be asking. Yeah. I should be asking to get on a couple more, but you just
sure. And the thing is, what is like you and I? We, for a living, we talk to strangers, and that's what we do. We go out in front of people and we try to make strangers laugh. And I don't know why we have this problem with, you know, we seem to think that when people see our output and what we're doing, they go, "Oh, this fucking guy again." What are we worrying about?
I know
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's. I've been recently I've started trying to be a bit more like, none of this matters. Like, I'd go back to the ant thing, and not in some super nihilistic way, just like, you know, when a few things have happened, and I know this is like a sharing podcast, but I can't fully share the stuff because of the person involved, but yeah, some health stuff's happened to some of my family, and I'm like, oh, none of this matters. Who cares? You're just like,
yeah.
You're just like, this. Like, it's like with this stuff, someone might not get back to you, they do, it doesn't matter. It's quite a good mentality, actually. Even doing stand-up, I feel I've had to do it the last couple of weeks with some stuff going on, and I actually have quite enjoyed it because I just go on stage literally not giving a shit at all.
Yeah, of course.
Which is, I think, always... I think that's a good... I've always thought of stand-up as like a healthy medium of caring enough to work at your craft, but ultimately not giving a shit when you go on stage, but still... See me like you care enough. Is that like a weird? That makes sense. Yeah,
yeah. There's absolutely.
Comedians that just say, I'm going to say this. You have to still think of the audience having a good time, because otherwise you just say completely uninteresting stuff. But yeah, you've got to not having no neediness is very key, I think, to being good on stage. And that's taken me a long time to get.
Well, this
as a pleaser.
Well, I think, I'm the same. I think you get, like you've just said, like, you know, something happens in real life that makes you, it shines a light on how privileged we are in the positions we're in. That when someone, like a loved one, is struck down with something, and you go, oh shit, this doesn't matter at all, like you've just said.
Yeah.
And once you experience that, yes, I think it does. I think, from that you do become, things become a bit more easy to deal with in a shitty way, to be honest.
Yeah. It shouldn't take that.
Shouldn't be that. No, exactly.
Guys, if you want to get really, really calm in life, just get someone, have something horrible happen to them that you love, and then everything's easier.
It's
as long as it's not you. It's like a weird seminar. I'm sure there'll be someone in LA running that cult for people. Come and just poison a loved one, and then you will feel liberated in everything you do in your life.
Because you see their struggle, you know, and it's not your struggle.
That's guaranteed. There's fucking cult like that out here. It's funny.
What's it like for your mental health living in LA? How are you finding it?
Do you know what? I actually have found it, LA for people's mental health is understandably a place a lot of people struggle with. But I feel quite lucky, actually, because I moved here with my wife, who is one that I really like. I know it's very fashionable in comedy to talk about your wife being annoying, but no, she's like my best friend, and we write together and stuff, so makes it undeniably better, because everyone talks about how hard it is to make friends and all that stuff out here, because it's not an easy to get around city, and you can get very obsessed with, you know, your career and stuff. But weirdly, I find it in the career side, I found it a bit easier mentally than the UK, because in the UK I found that it's quite a narrow funnel of stuff you're supposed to do to be the perceived successful comedian. Does that make sense? So like,
yes,
when I was there, it's like, get on Mock the Week. Now have an Edinburgh about a very, either something really crazily personal or something really out there. And then if you have a good Edinburgh, then that's good. Then you might get on Mock the Week. And if you get on Mock the Week, you might do this, or you might write a sitcom, even though doing an Edinburgh show doesn't necessarily mean you can write a sitcom. You know, kind of weird UK. Go to Edinburgh. It was always this very weird, very British, like, you have to do these steps because it's the way it is. And then you go, but why does it have to be that way? So then in America, what I like about it is it's very frustrating in loads of ways. The stand-up scene is, you know, I don't really get, it's much harder to get paid for stand-up, much harder to build a, you know, building a following from just live stand-up, very difficult. But I think that's the same in the UK now. But there's so many channels and so many things. It's so big that there's so many different ways of finding what you do and doing it. You know, you can pitch TV shows, you can write on shows, you can, there's so many different things that, like, when you see someone doing well, and I've always tried to not make that a thing that I worry too much about, and I don't think I worry about it too much, but in the UK you'd be like, literally, you know, if someone's on What the Week, you'd be like, oh, well, they've taken that position that I might have maybe taken, just demographic wise or whatever, whereas over here it just doesn't matter. There's like, there's so many different ways of doing things that that side of things hasn't bothered me, which is great, because because it's so unhealthy to care about what anyone else is doing, really. So,
oh man, it's funny over here, because at the minute, I feel we're still having a problem of ageism, and that's across the board, not just in our industry, but just in life. People seem to think that you get to a certain age and you're just not relevant anymore. And it's always about new and young and fresh. And you're like, well, there's still people. There's old, like, people that are my age that were old ravers, and now, you know, they still want to go out. They still want to have a good time.
Yeah.
But no one's catering for that. And it's like, what are we supposed to do? Just trundle off into the sea? It's weird.
It's weird as well, because when I was younger and I loved stand-up as a teenager, I wouldn't give a shit about what a 23-year-old comedian was. I mean, and again, you can have great comics at 23. I actually think it doesn't really matter. But I think there's a weird thing in the industry where they think, well, young people want to just hear from young, good-looking people. And actually, it depends. Like, I used to love The Office when I was 16. It's not aimed at a 16-year-old, The Office. It's just It's just a guy being, you know, it's a show that highlights a really honest truth that spans all generations. Partridge the same. Like, I think, certain comics, I think someone being genuine is actually just very appealing to any age. You know, Bill Burr, he's like, in his 50s now? It's funny as fuck, but he's like being authentically him. And I think, you know, I'm on 35. So yeah, I used to love him 10 years. I think there's this weird obsession with young and hot, and definitely on a certain level, I understand, like, young sexy shit sells. But I think in stand-up, I'm just like, no, I want to see someone, you know, Mickey Flanagan, I used to watch when I was starting out.
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious. And you're just like, these people, Zoe Lyons, all these people, they're so good. And when they're just being authentic, and that's the thing I think sometimes gets a bit lost in this industry.
I think so. I think across the board, I say, with, you know, this, when the pandemic first happened, and then we were all sort of like, all right, well, I can't do stand-up. I'm going to go and get another job. I'll just go and stack some shelves. And the amount of shelf stacking jobs I got turned down for.
Really?
I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I just need to, just give me a job. And I genuinely think it was because of my age. And I think loads of people struggle with getting other work now because they're older. For some reason, they just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're seen as, maybe they're not as malleable as young people. I don't know. I know that I wouldn't want some young upstart in an office telling me what to do now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd be like, no, mate, go and get your dad. I'm not talking to you.
I'd love a 24-year-old to go bring his dad over to the office to tell you off. Dad, what are you doing right now? I need to tell off one of the dinosaurs at work. And he's a dinosaur because he's over 10 years older than me. So that's how we classify.
That's it. Yeah. He's 49. That's ancient.
Yeah. I know, that's dog shit though. Why can't, I mean, the shelf stacking thing, that's very depressing that is a reality. Yeah. I once didn't get a job as a shelf stacker when I was a teenager, if that makes you feel any better. Filled out the form so badly for Sainsbury's, I think they could just tell I didn't want the job. They were like, this guy's heart's not in it. This guy's been told to get a job by his dad. He's crossed out four things. He's basically written, help me in invisible ink on the application.
I think some just I still find that baffling, because there was a couple of interviews I had to do, and you know, and there's still the old questions like this company that you're applying to work for is the greatest company in the land. You're like, no, mate, I'm here because I need the money.
Yeah,
let's and it's not. Always been the same.
Why are we doing this dance? No one believes that. You know that even the fucking manager of this area, if he got offered more money by Tesco, he'd jump ship from Sainsbury's to Tesco. He's not. There's no one like kissing the badge. You stack a good shelf, slide on your knees, kiss your name badge, everyone. I'd like to see more.
You
of
got
that,
people actually. coming down to the store just to watch Craig when he's on shift because he's the best.
Craig's the best. He hasn't taken a pay rise in 5 years. He had offers from Morrison's. Offers from M&S. He loves Sainsbury's home.
He's
brand.
Just loyal to Sainsbury's, mate.
He's loyal. That would make me. I'd be more brand loyal if they made the staff kiss the badge when you wear the jacket or something.
they start selling Sainsbury's out uniforms in JD Sports. New ones every season.
Put Craig 07 on the back. This is a bit, mate. You can who's having this bit? We've made a bit by accident. This is definitely a bit. You should have this bit.
I'm thinking, do you know what? Simon Munnery has got a bit about this.
Oh my God. Everyone's got a bit about something, though. That's something I realised. Yeah. Don't worry about people having bits. People have always got bits that we've all got. But as long as you haven't intentionally, and you'll have your own spin. He won't do it the same as we've done it now.
No. He says he likes to go, I think if I remember it rightly, he likes to go to Sainsbury's for the songs.
That's funny.
The songs are better in Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's. Tesco, shit.
That's funny. But you can make it about your... Sorry, I love... My favourite thing is, I hate... Stand-up-wise at the moment, I used to like... You know, my 20... I just get up every day and I try and write through it. Now, because I do more writing of scripty stuff and all that, that's my like... my actual work. And then I just stand up is the best thing is just chatting to people and coming up with it is the best way of coming up stand up. But I like coming to stand up for other people because I don't have to make it perfect. I can just go, hey mate, that's funny. Just deal with that. You can finish it off.
Just do that.
Mate, just do all exactly what we just said in that spontaneous way. We just came up with it and it'll kill.
Yeah.
You should link that to the not getting a job in Sainsbury's and then that question. I think that's really funny. And that's different.
Yeah. Well, I've got a bit. I've got the bit that I see. Yeah, the bit is that, you know, like when you get there and they go, so why do you want this job? And you're like, what the fuck? Well, because I really like tins and I love dog food and now here I am.
Yeah. Now you've got to add it.
Fucking idiot.
There's no Stephen Gerrard at Tesco just like there till they die. That's funny. Get it in there, mate. I want to progress. I'm holding you accountable to this.
I'll video it when I do it and I'll send it to you.
Please, 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 please. And if it doesn't work, it's nothing to do with me. It's all you.
Classic. But this is the thing. And the more people are struggling now because more and more jobs are becoming automated.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up like, what are you going to do? We can't all get jobs fixing the robots. So what are we going to end up doing?
Yeah, I did read about, I'm trying to be better at not reading sort of existentially scary news, but I did read this like very detailed AI article by some guy, something Urban was his name. I can't remember his name. Anyway, but it was like the machines are going to, you know, but just like so many jobs are like, going to be, I mean, again, we're a bit lucky. I think it's quite hard to automate talking shit, luckily, in the near future. I'm sure they have an AI thing that can sort of churn out some perfectly feasible stuff. But was it Andrew Yang out here who's a politician he was one of the presidential candidates. And I think he had like a, was it universal credit of like $1,000? I can't remember what it was, but there was a universal credit pre-pandemic, obviously. When he was running, I think, before he got knocked out. But it was like he'd accounted for AI and automation taking over. But again, with all these things like climate crisis, all these politicians are just that get in and just, it's all what can they do in like 2 years rather than the next 10. But you're right, that's the problem. People need to automate proof their careers, which is going to be hard.
And this is it. But it's, I was even reading about, is it Jet Li or somebody like that? The reason he stepped away from the Matrix films. It might not be Jet Li, it was someone like that. Because he's got all these moves that he's been working on over years. It's like his life's work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came to the Matrix films, they were going to video him in the sequels before this one has come out now. And he said that they were going to record him doing that. And then they would own those moves. intellectual property. And he's like, no, he goes, I've worked on those for years. And then what? Then they can take those movies and then superimpose someone else's head on it.
That's so Hollywood. They would do that.
Yes. And he went, I'm not doing it. Yeah.
That's so Hollywood. Yeah, that's hilarious. That some like corporations like, we're gonna own karate chop at a 28 degree angle, followed by knee to the kidneys. I mean, you can tell my lack of karate knowledge there that I've named two things that I don't think Jet Li's invented.
I was gonna say jumping through a stepladder, but that's Jackie Chan.
That's Jackie Chan. He loves that. He loves jumping through stepladders. That's funny. That's funny you said that, and that he immediately popped into my head.
That's it's crazy, isn't it? But that is the thing. That's what even on that level, they're like, no, you're not doing it. So even that would become automated. They wouldn't even need him anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's depressing. So how are they going to do that with us? What are they going to own? People start buying it. No, you can't own a joke. You can't own a joke. That's actually proven. That's like annoyingly sometimes when they get stolen. The person that's hard to prove, isn't it? Well, don't...
Who came up with it first?
Don't they... People always try and do these lawsuits and it never works, annoyingly. When it's clearly stolen. I'm sure that's what's happened with a couple of... Isn't there some British guys going through that? And isn't there some...
Right as we speak, there's a...
they're in a legal
couple
battle.
Of them, and it's... Yeah. And it's... Yeah. And it, and both the jokes are, you know, they're word for word, and you go, well, you know, that's... And like, you see, you know, it, of course it must be so frustrating when you've like, you know, like Jet Li or whoever that was, that they've put their life and soul into that. And then someone else just goes, yeah, I'm going to have that.
I just hit a button and just say it was Jet Li. So, but I'll take myself saying this out.
No, that's fine. Keep it in. I like it. I wonder what we'd see. This is what we'd be like if we automated producer Paul. I mean, Chris and I would be fucked.
Yeah. It is Paul just confirming facts for an hour. That would be good. Rather than us just speculating. It'd save everyone a lot of time.
It would.
Rename me. Say Alexa or a Siri or something like that.
Danielson.
Yeah.
Paul Danielson. That was terrible, sorry.
No, that was good. That was a good pun. I liked it.
But this is what's happening with people. They're finding that they're getting, you know, shoved out, and it's only going to end up with 5 billionaires, you know, left, while the rest of us just get sort of punted out.
I know.
I don't know, to become landfill. And that's, of course, people are going to struggle with that.
I know. It's very, it's hard. It's like, it's almost like it was probably meant, it was mentally easier back in the day when there was just like a very small pool of job options, right? And then you were like, we'll do these. Yeah. And then now you're right. All these kind of more manual jobs are going. And then it's like, I still think, then you're trying to get people, there'll be, you know, in the very, very, not the very, but in further future, people will be like a bit more prepped for like, you know, this automated world and what to do. But the people in the middle now, I can feel, you know, I mean, even my dad, who's like, you know, he's semi-retired, but he's like, you can just feel him just pissed off with the world's ever-changing systems of automation, which is natural. He doesn't understand. The other day he rung me because he wanted to check if he was, he didn't understand, but basically my mum needed him to check if he was, if the antivirus had been paid for. And he emailed me going, do I have Norton? And I went, I don't know if you've got Norton. Let me go for your computer. And then he didn't have Norton. He had a different one. And I go, you've got that. And he goes, okay, cool. And then I said, but just check with your mum if that's good. And then I said to my mum, what's this? I was checking if he's got Norton. She goes, he's such a fucking idiot. She goes, I just needed him to check if he'd paid for a year's subscription to the whatever it's called, AVG subscription. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
So he just needs to check his bank statement. So then I rung him up and was like, you just needed to check your bank statement. He goes, why don't you just do that? And he goes, oh God, that's not easy as well. And then he tried to do that for a bit online and then he gave up. And then I just went, I think we're good. I think it's good. We'll just batten down the hatches and hope you don't get a virus.
Well, this, do you know what? And what annoys me is I lost my phone. And a very kind man found it, gave it back to me.
Oh.
But I'd already reported it lost. Mm. And so it took me 6 weeks to get my phone turned back on. And I kept going in there and I kept, It took so long. And I kept going in and going, look, there's a bar on my phone. I need it taken off. In the end, I was just like, look, you're so fucking worried about getting ripped off. You're not giving a shit about me without having... I need my phone for work. And you're this is doing my nutting. Because all of, I wouldn't mind if all of these things were put into place in order... It's like, oh, these will help you. This is beneficial for you. But I just see it as like, no, you just don't want to get ripped off. You're trying to make more money. This is sickens me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's becoming an old
curmudgeon. There's no care of you. No, there's, no, no, no. I get that. What? Sorry, I need to go more detail. And it's 6 weeks. What?
Yeah.
Can you name and shame the phone company or the phone shop?
It's O2.
So they said, hang on, you lost your phone. You got a new phone.
Yeah. And no, no, I lost my phone and I got my phone back.
Oh, you got your phone back and then you were like, but I've already cancelled it. So now I've, that's crazy.
And I kept having to go in and so the insurance company cancelled the claim and then I kept having to go in. I went in so many times in different cities, wherever I was going in and going, right, still no phone. I need this sorting out. Then every time they go, oh yeah, we're going to take the bar off. It'd be 24 hours. And then the next day, no, it's not lifted. I'm like, oh, come on, man. And I was just kicking off.
Oh my God.
And I was lovely up to a point. In the end, the last day, and the guy just went, yeah, we're going to take the bar off. It would take 24 hours. And I went, that's enough. I'm not leaving this shop until you either give me another phone.
There we go. I love
just
it. Add,
I do like proper mate, falling down this. Moment.
Getting a mental hard on listening. I love it. I love it when people just put their foot down with these because they can always do it. It's just they always go, they just can't be fucked. And then they have to just, they don't care. But if you just like put down your foot, you can make it. Oh, and then it works. Yeah. Phone. I have the rule of don't swear is my rule. Never swear. Yeah. Until they make you until they make you swear, you're like just don't swear because then they can hang up. And then no, I do try to never swear, but then there's a point where they just push you so hard, and you're just like, fuck. Middle, you're bringing me to a curmudgeon-y point I've got now in my mid 30s, and this is very much very American, and I think in the UK more so. It's kind of a big business thing, but unnecessary middlemen in shit is just. So they do. You, I think this is so. In the over here now, I don't. In the UK, I know there was Deliveroo when I left, and I haven't been back properly for like 3 or 4 years. But there was over here. You know, back in the day when you order a takeaway, you'd call up the restaurant, they'd deliver it to you. Now these companies like Grubhub and DoorDash have rung all these places, going, "We'll do all your delivery admin and all this," and then they fucking get paid 30% or something insane. And so, but if you sign up to us, we'll get you more business and all this, which I guess does make sense because people online, even though I miss just typing in the name of the cuisine and going direct to source, right? But the problem is when something goes wrong, it's just game over. Like, so they brought the wrong food to our house. This is a few months ago, like the wrong order. So I ring up and go, guys, you brought the wrong order. Can you just send the thingy? And they go, this is the restaurant. They go, well, you went through DoorDash. You're going to have to ring DoorDash. And I'm like, okay. So I ring DoorDash and then I'm like trying to speak to them going, because obviously by this point you're fucking starving, right? Your food has arrived. You're excited. You then spend 20 minutes on hold. You get through and then they tell you, there's been a mistake. Okay, we'll give you a refund. And you go, yes, great. And then can you just reorder they're like, no, you've got to call up the restaurant again and reorder and wait another. And I'm like, I got so angry. And then I was like, well, you've got to give me, like, it's not just that I've got the wrong food. I now have to wait an extra hour. So you've got to give me some discount. And they go, no, we can't. And then I can't remember how this happened, but I ended up going through to like the, I've get to a point, go send me to the boss. Stop reading off your sheet, send me to the boss. Stop reading the script and send me to the boss. And I got through, and I can't remember how this happened, but a guy was like, wrong name, something, something, all this. And then I said, what's going on? I go, why did it go to the wrong place? Why can't, and the guy went, sorry, let me just confirm your phone number. And I went and go, all right, is your name, and I doubt it is, but it says on my system, your name is Roast Chicken Sandwich House. And I went, that's not my name, man. That's not my name. You've got the name of a restaurant as my name, and I don't know what's happened here. But then the guy just very quickly was like, I'll give you $20 and then we'll get that sort. But still have to call the fucking restaurant and order it. So,
Oh, man.
Unnecessary middlemen.
Yes. It's like estate agents.
You're right. They're middlemen.
And I remember buying a flat, and they just went, oh yeah, well done, you've got the flat, now you just got to pay 10 grand. You go, well, what's that for? They go, oh, stamp duty. What's that for? because you have to pay it. Okay, but what's it for? It's the law. What are you talking about? Just 10 grand. Just 10 grand.
I love as well, if you didn't know anything about that sounds like the most made up thing. Just how much? Yeah. 10 grand. That feels like a very a very easy number for you to say. 10 grand, exactly.
Well, yeah. What? Just 10 duty, grand.
10 grand, and then you don't tell us before, yeah.
And that's how shit it was, because when people stopped, because of the old pando, people weren't buying houses and things like that. So to get people to get back into the house buying market, they dropped the stamp duty. So they said, oh, for a limited time, you don't have to pay stamp duty. You go, so it doesn't fucking matter then. Yeah. It's another fee. You bastards.
It's like America, a lot of places in America, when you go to buy something, 90% the tax isn't included, and I want to be mate, I'm going to pay. Am I paying the tax? Then put it in the price. Like, what? Don't make me work out 8% of fucking 14.50. I've got no clue. Yeah. But I know it's going to be more than 15. Put it in there. Put it in there.
Over here, when we have the VAT, and they go, oh, that's the price, and then there's VAT on top. We go again. Put it in the price, mate. I'm not HMRC. I don't know how that works. Just whatever the price is, let me pay it.
Do I look like HMRC? Do I look like HMRC?
Put it in the price. Do I look like a cunt? Fuck's sake. Just stop. It's just all this bollocks where you just go, they go, well, that's the law. You go, why is it the law? You go, because it is. No. Is it a law that's in place that benefits everybody, that safeguards everybody, or is it a law that's been put in place that means you get more money from people? Because that really fucks me off.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of this adds to the stress.
The job, it's the Jobsworth is the word that is a very British word. Makes people say, I love that word, Jobsworth. Ugh.
Jobsworth. The guy that does his job properly.
Yeah, that's so British, isn't it, to complain about? He's fucking art. Look at this nerd just getting paid to do his job to the best of his abilities.
Mate, I was in a Costa, right? And I'm not bragging, but I was in a Costa, and the manager of the place was talking to this, I think she must have been new, and he's talking to her like he was on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. The way he was talking, like, I've got to know the numbers. I've got to know this. I've got to know. See, if I don't know that, that'll happen. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, my God, mate, you work in a coffee shop. No disrespect to anyone that works in a coffee shop.
Yeah, just dial it down a notch. Like, I don't know if you watch this. I generally don't watch reality TV, but there's a show that we love watching called Below Deck.
Yes.
Have you seen it? It's great. It's
great
people,
television.
It's basically rich assholes serving insanely rich arseholes wishing they were the insanely rich arseholes. So it's on a boat and it's all cramped. So the new series, there's a girl who's like the chief stew, I think they call it, like head steward or something.
Yeah.
And she's like 25. And the way she tries to manage, it's just classic somebody talking but saying nothing over and over again. She's going like, because this British dude left a bin bag in one of the rooms by accident, and because he was being put between the cocktail bar and he had to, and she goes, yeah, so what we need is just like, you need to be like, there needs to be a constant flow, and you know, you need to be upping our game, if I'm him, I want to be, just tell me in a very specific way what I should be doing at what point, rather than saying this bollocks. I hate management nonsense nothingness. And these people are, it's very David Brent, and it's funny because she's totally unaware of it as well, but she thinks she's being a good boss, but she's just saying words.
Oh, I hate it when they try to use big words that they don't they say them in the wrong place, or they get the word wrong, and they're trying to talk like it's intellectual. Oh, you're like, mate, even I know that it's not what you meant to say was ether, not urethra. I was talking to you into the urethra. Listen to what you've just said to me, you fucking clanger. What's wrong with you?
That's so funny. There's a kid, when I was a teenager, there was this geezer who, like, I knew for something, he's like a proper geezer. And I think he just learned the word derogatory, and he said it so many times. He kept being like, man, that's derogatory, man. But he said it like literally every sentence. I'm like, you've just learned a new word, haven't you? Someone got a dictionary?
Yeah. Well, it's like the Princess Bride, isn't it? That's inconceivable. And in the end, he goes, I don't think it means what you think it means.
Yeah. Very, very funny.
It's the you know, like you see, really makes me laugh when you go to a service station in this country, in the UK, and you've got
You're making the me homesick right now.
The manager of the, they go, this tonight, John Gregson is the manager of the services this evening. Any problems? They go to John, and you're like, what the fuck is this?
But you never know. But here's my, on the flip side of that, I love it when someone just loves, if he like loves it, then fair play. Get that picture up there.
Yeah,
true. You know,
true,
you must have done, you know, I've done enough corporates where you do the awards for like the telecommunications regional kingpin of the year. And these people, like, they love winning awards. Like, it's just humans. Yes. We like being, so if you're into it, fair play. It's that, but there's a line in the same way. Me and Hans always like joke, and like, there's like a line of like, care about what you do, do it to the best of your abilities, but like, don't be a knob about it. Like,
yes, don't. Exactly.
And it's very hard, it's very nuanced, and very arrogantly, we think we have the exact right balance, which I'm sure we don't to other people, but anyone that doesn't fit the exact way that we perceive you should treat your job is either a nerd or just bad, but we have the perfect balance because we are ourselves, and that's how we decide that everything, the prism that we look at life through.
But this is it. I mean, it's like Bill Burr said recently. He said, you know, this, you know, they're rolling out the vaccine, and all the, you know, all the people that are going, you know, what they said, they're rolling out a vaccine. If the conspiracy theorists are to be believed, that they're rolling out the vaccine that will kill all the sheeple like us guys that go, what are we doing now? So they're, and then they're left with all the Fonzies in their leather jackets. And it's like this. It's like you have to be a Fonzie, but a Fonzie doesn't really get anything done. But the nerd, he'll get the shit done.
That's very true. We need the nerds. We need the nerds. Fonzies. Do you want to hear a cool Hollywood story about the Fonzie?
Yes, I do.
I'll tell you this through a guy that we first stayed about here, this old school Hollywood guy who was like, and again, this is just from his mouth. He says he knew Sylvester Stallone and Henry Winkler when they were all in the coming up in the, I guess, 60s, 70s or whatever.
Mm.
And apparently Henry Winkler was, you know, was going into his audition. And you think about the way he talks. It's quite like Sylvester Stallone, right? He's like, hey, you're Sylvester Stallone. And he was like, I've got this audition. I feel like the way you talk would work well for it. Can I kind of do it? And he was like, yeah, go for it. And then that's how the Fonz was born.
No way.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh,
cool, right? Cool. That's either made cool. up or real story. Who knows?
I don't know. But the guy, that's a cool story.
I have no reason to believe that the guy was lying to me. He said he was in a TV show here and he was mates with all them. So I like that story. So I'm saying it like it's true.
That's a beautiful story. I really, even if it's not true, I love shit like that.
Oh, man.
That is so cool, man. And I think that's a perfect way to finish. That's a lovely way to finish, man. It's been a real joy having you on, Chris. It's been smashing. I haven't spoken to you for ages, man.
I know. It flew by. It absolutely flew by.
It really did. Fun. And where can we find you, Chris? What are you up to? What are you doing?
Well, so this pod that I'm doing with your lovely producer, Paul Danielson, it's all recorded. I'm just finishing off a few bits. So it's called Getting My Dad to Say I Love You. Because I realized whilst Zooming during the pandemic, because I haven't been home for 2 years because pandemic and immigration stuff I'm sorting over here with my green card. He's a very supportive, loving guy in that sense and a very sweet guy. But I was talking to some people going like, I don't know if my dad's ever said, I love you. So then on the Zoom, I was like, oh, Dad, have you ever said I love you? And he was like, yeah, I reckon so. And I was like, oh, all right, have you? Well, just say it then. And he just couldn't say it. Because he's just from that generation, right? Not everyone from that generation is like that, but I think the way he was brought up, you don't express your feelings and all that stuff. And he finds it all very uncomfortable. He doesn't even like talking about his first kiss and stuff. He kind of clams up. So I thought it'd be fun to chat to other comedians and writers and stuff, but in this series it's mainly British comics, just about their families and their parents and whether they've said I love you to them, and because I feel that's quite a common, it's kind of a common trope. We're all kind of in this industry because we want our parents to tap us on the head and say I love you, good job.
No, man.
So it's been really fun. Yeah. It's been really fun. It's called Getting My Dad to Say I Love You, and it's out soon.
I've got...
fantastic.
Can I play a trailer then?
Yeah, you can play it.
I could fail it, play it just for feedback from right. Rich. But okay, also, Rich. When you said mainly British comedians, then I had the trailer I just quickly loaded in was the one with Jennifer in it, because she's got the most amazing voice.
Okay, right.
I'm in love with her voice. It's really good.
Yeah, she's got a great voice and great. She's got very funny stories, but her parents are fucking insane, so it's very fun chatting.
Great accent. Anyway, right, here comes the trailer.
I'm Chris Martin, and my dad has never said I love you. So I'm making a podcast to find out if this is normal, with comedians like Jamali Maddox.
My mom, she was like, I'm so happy you did that. That's the only thing I can watch of yours. That doesn't make me cry.
And Conan and Bad Santa 2 star Jenny Zagrino.
I took my mom to the premiere of the last movie I was in. She brought a bag of cherries and it was like, do you want cherries? And I'm like, Mom, stop offering people cherries. And they were like, yeah, the whole cast.
And my dad. Will they persuade him? Getting My Dad to Say I Love You is coming soon.
Hey. Oh, I don't like
I love
my,
that.
I don't like hearing my voice, but it's my
dude.
It's my like I hate my it. On voice. You know, the odd because I do some voiceovers as well. I'm like, oh God, what am I trying to sell? I'm like, oh, I'm trying to sell my own podcast, which is free. So it's not really selling. But it was really fun. Man. Some really interesting. Yeah, none of us like hearing. You know when you're supposed to record yourself doing a stand up set and then like listen back. I'm like, ugh,
every time. Ugh. Yeah.
But the pod was great, and people so many fucking so interest, so many like similar themes. And then if this all goes good in season two, man, I'd love to have you on as well. And that's me actually
yes,
saying
please,
it,
man.
And I will back it up with a because I could listen to people talk about their parents for just hours. I find it so fascinating.
Oh man, I've got lots to tell you. I love my parents dearly, but yeah, lots to say. Especially on the love thing. But like you say, it's a generation thing. It's a generation thing. He says everything else but that.
I know. It's funny. Like, was it Carl Donnelly? He said, like, his dad never said, then recently said it once. And it was like, as his dad's getting older. And my dad, we're working on him. We're working on him. He does a little top and tail at the podcast, and he's very sweet. He's just, but you're right. They just can't, I don't know why it's like some, I think it's that man thing, isn't it? Again, it's that.
Yeah.
It's a weakness to show emotion, even if it's just like a lovely emotion that makes someone feel really good about themselves.
It makes my dad. Now I made a point of hugging my dad now for a long time now.
Good.
And it took him, even now when I'm leaving, he knows that I'm going to do it. And he stands up and he stands with his hands down by his side and he just looks at me like, oh, come on in.
I'm
going
nice.
To do it, Dad, and I'm going to do it.
That's
gonna do
good.
It always.
You just gotta. It's just keep chipping away. I think. I mean, I haven't seen him for 2 years, and I'll be back hopefully in a few weeks now. But I'm gonna hug the absolute shit out. I'm gonna kiss him on the face as well. All that stuff.
Fuck.
Just get that done.
I'm gonna start introducing the kiss on the face to my dad. I'm gonna start kissing him on the forehead. Or the forehead.
Kiss on the
cheek.
Yeah, I think it's just a kiss on the forehead's great. There's something very intimate about a forehead kiss that like. It's like, it's my child. Just there's something about it. I don't know.
That's it. Yeah.
That's funny. All right, I'm going to do that. I'll do that as well then. Inspired by you, I'm going to kiss my dad on the forehead.
Let's do it.
Gently rub it afterwards and say, everything's going to be okay.
Shh.
You're just shushing him even though he's making no noise. That's
don't cheapen this.
Oh, man.
Oh, my dad been great, to... Chris.
Mate, it's great. Thanks so much, mate. I'd love to
thank you, man.
And I'll hopefully see you when I'm back in the UK in real life, mate. You still playing football?
Yeah, that'd be lovely. I do. I haven't been for a while, but I'm heading back in the next couple of weeks. So
great.
Yeah,
great.
And I'm a vegetarian now as well. So
get in there, mate. Good boy. Yeah, mate. Good boy.
Making some tiny acorns, mate. We're getting there.
Do you know what? I'm not judging anyone that isn't, but I am just saying, Rich is one of the best guys purely because of that. So. I'm not saying if you eat meat, you're worse. I'm just saying, up your game, guys. Come on.
Up your game.
Mate, loved it so
Thanks,
much.
Mate.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Insane in the membrane.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.